Hey, what's up, everyone? This is David Greenspan, and you are listening to Season 2 of the Mindshare Podcast, a proud member of the Industry Syndicate Media Network. Additional podcasts are available at mindshare101.com and on all the major podcast platforms. This week's episode is sponsored by Kits Keep in Touch Systems. This is episode 88. You know, when this whole thing hit, it was obviously a shock to everyone. I mean, nobody would have expected to be totally shut down. No one expected the economy to take such a hit. And no one expected that halfway through 2020, it would be normal to be told what line to follow when we walk through a store. That we need to wear masks everywhere we go. And to put on gloves before touching anything. It's as if we all have some crazy virus. Wait a second. Do we? I'd like to think I don't. I mean, I'm grateful that as of this moment, I can share that I, nor any of my family members, have been affected. In fact, for all the people I know and talk to in a day, I've heard less than a handful of stories about people I know or people they know who have COVID. You see, I'm not a fan of being told where and how to walk or what I should wear. I mean, we live in a free country with freedom of speech. We should be entitled to make our own decisions. Now, that being said, there's also some reality checks here. Yes, we should be able to make our own decisions. But what is the right decision? And I mean right as in, is there a proper, safe decision to be made that will be for the benefit of not only you or me as individuals, but for the collective we as individuals? Many argue that the we mentality includes walking the lines we're told and wearing the mask like we're told. And others would argue against that. My standpoint, like I said, I don't want to be told where to walk or what I have to wear. However, I do care about my family. And for the few minutes I may spend in a store, I guess I can, for the time being, throw a mask on to be respectful of others. The one thing that I really don't want to see, I don't want to see this become the normal from now on. I mean, as we conform to these new ways of living in public, how long does this keep up? How does it affect us going to restaurants? How does it affect two people being attracted to one another? How long does this way of living affect the way we operate as a society? Remember that book, 1984, by George Orwell? Big Brother is watching. All this COVID stuff is looking a lot like steps towards a Big Brother society. I mean, as we conform, will they ever stop? Anyhow, that wasn't the point of this episode. I mean, I guess it was one of the points, but even more importantly, do you wait until your car runs out of gas to go fill up at the gas station? Or do you prepare before the tank hits empty? Do you wait until you're getting rained on to fix that leak in your roof? Or are you all over that, making sure that the rain doesn't get in? Do you wait to adjust your marketing budget, your spending, and your work habits until a global pandemic hits? Or are you reading and ready? Are you ready for anything that life throws at you at any time? You see where I'm going here? You see, back in March when the news hit, people got scared, and rightfully so. All of a sudden, we're told to stay home, don't go out, don't get within 6 feet of another person. We all know how it happened. Well, that led to a shock across every household. Sports closed, schools closed, work closed, stores closed, and toilet paper, I mean, nowhere to be found. Now, side note, the TP thing has nothing to do with this. In fact, it never did. That simply happened because of a sheep mentality. People following people without any rhyme or reason. Actually, we call them sheeple. But the first few weeks were manageable. Everyone doing their part to flatten the curve. Okay, I can stay out of the office for a couple weeks. Okay, I can manage my expenses for a couple weeks, etc. But then as it began to escalate quickly, fear started to set in. Panic around how those bills are going to get paid. The economy came to a crashing halt. People all over scrambling to figure out how to cover the next bill that comes in. This caused people everywhere to start cutting those expenses. Now, let's define and compare an expense versus an investment. Expense is defined as the cost required for something, the money spent on something. Investment is defined as The action or process of investing money for profit or material result. You see, it's the thought of the expense that shows some unpreparedness here. I mean, don't get me wrong. No one saw this coming. However, the way we plan and strategize needs to be more resilient than just buying stuff and hoping for the best. I mean, at some point, the money and or the luck, they both run out. And who knows? Maybe, just maybe, we could have a global pandemic, and that would really throw a monkey wrench into the plans. Ha. Instead, when planning, especially when there's money involved for our business, we need to think about how are we investing in our business to make it grow so we can grow. What are we doing to ensure we can withstand anything? How are we going to build our success? I saw many top earners and top teams start to tighten budgets. Fear of a lack of income in the coming months. And yes, there's definitely logic to that. However, in the marketing world, one fact remains constant no matter what. And that is the companies who remain consistent with their messaging. The ones who withstand any storm, any up or down in a market. They are the ones we collectively think of first when it comes to making purchasing decisions. They seem real to us. They seem like they've never disappeared. Over time, they have earned our trust. Although everyone had to adjust in some way, many realtors closed their wallet right up. Again, the fear of not making any money for several months was very, very real. But that said, there were many realtors who also just kept pushing through. Many acting irresponsibly, but many more acting very responsibly, ensuring they will continue to push through no matter what. The ones that continued working, they may have trimmed a little here or there, and I do hope that everyone reviewed their budgets and strategies regardless of the decisions you made. You see, when setting a marketing plan, there are a few key steps we need to follow, and I talked about this in last week's episode 87. Step one, define your two audiences, the people you know and the people you don't know. Step two, review what you are already doing for marketing and mark it down under the audience it is geared towards. For example, if you're doing newsletters, it's the people you know. If you're doing social media ads, it's the people you don't know. Now, always keep in mind that 79% of our annual income comes from the people we know. Step three, mark down the monthly and annual cost of each of these marketing tools. Step four is to add up the total for group one, then group two, then both combined. Now you know what you're doing for marketing, how much you are spending, and whether or not you are investing your money in the right group rather than just having an expense on your hands because you are targeting the wrong group and not seeing the ROI you would ultimately like to see. Step five is determine your monthly and annual marketing budget by calculating your needs, your wants, adding them up, and then figuring out how much you can afford to invest in your marketing. Without the proper plan, it is all just an expense. And therefore, it doesn't necessarily bring you the return you need on your money. This then causes you to shut it all down when the pandemic hit, or the rain starts, or the gas runs out. You decide to stop it all because you're not sure what it is and what is not working. You don't have an actual plan to adjust. You're just running and gunning, hoping for the best. Well, beyond the pandemic, I mean, I look at this as you working harder, spending more, making less money. But that is the total opposite of what I want for you. I want you to work easier, spend less, and make more. Now, this isn't about what I want for you, but I mean, come on. Wouldn't you rather work easier, spend less, and make more instead of the other way around? Of course you would. We all do. By analyzing how much we spend, the effort we put into our business, and the return we get for it all, we will be more resilient in the face of anything that comes our way. And when something does happen, and you have planned accordingly, while your competition is still scrambling, that will bode well for you in the long run. Think about it. You're on track ready for anything, but your competition is not. Now go back to March 11th and a couple weeks forward from there. As everyone is retracting, going to hide out, not doing business, not marketing themselves, nowhere to be found. There you are, all by yourself, standing tall and shiny, ready with open arms to continue moving forward. I mean, imagine a world with zero competition. We'd all be laughing. And that's kind of what it was like when everybody closed shop. The strong ones, the ones who have a plan, the ones who don't operate beyond their means, they are the ones who benefited from all of it. So which one were you? Did you feel the need to close up shop? Did you stop marketing? Or were you one of those people who kept growing their business? And how about this? No matter which category you fell into, I'm curious to know if you looked at your plan at all. Did you do any review since then? And if not, do you plan to? The spring market got crushed because of timing. But this summer market seems to be making up for all of that lost time. The question now becomes, what are you thinking is going to happen for our fall market? And are you prepared no matter what? I mean, let's look at some of these factors that we're faced with as we look ahead. Mortgage deferrals are going to be called on. Schools may not be getting back to normal as soon as we'd hope. Unemployment rates are already way up. Now, I'm not being pessimistic in my approach here. Instead, I want to help us all plan accordingly for the realities that are ahead. This is being realistic, not pessimistic. And in the same breath, we want to be opportunistic. Banks are a business. They also need to get paid. Yes, they're the ones holding the money. And yes, they are the ones with the control to say, yes, pay us in a few months rather than pay now, or we take your house. What they have done has been very helpful to the economy. Some people ask, well, why did the banks raise rates when the Fed decided to lower them? The answer to that is as simple as less people working, less people depositing money, not enough transactions going on for the bank to keep its bottom line afloat, so they adjusted. With the economy taking such a hit the way it has for the past 4.5 months, the banks are feeling it too. And there's only so long they're going to allow people to not make their mortgage payments. Plus, they only offered deferrals. They didn't tell people that they don't have to actually pay that back. So the banks are going to start calling for their money. And people are going to need to find a new way to pay. But some people don't or won't have the money. So then what? Well, then either the bank forces them into more debt due to interest payments, or gives people options to loan more money, creating more debt, or they just take people's homes, which inevitably creates even more debt. Schools. I have not heard from anyone, anywhere, that schools plan to go back to normal schedules come September. I've heard that classes may be reduced sizes. I've heard that if they go back, there will be rotating schedules as opposed to every student on the same schedule. I've heard people say the kids are not going back anytime soon. And I mean, as you listen to this podcast, put this one in perspective. They're only about 30-ish days until school starts. Do you really think they're going back anytime soon? And what are the ramifications if they don't? Well, for those people who were supposed to go back to regular working hours, they're going to be unable to. This means they won't be making the money they had planned for. This means they may not be able to pay for that mortgage deferral or any of the other bills. And this will be a contributing factor to the overall debt ratio for many families. Another economic effect, which inevitably has an effect on our housing market and the income we all bring in, as well as what we can afford to spend. Unemployment rates are way up. Companies all over the map had to adjust on their end too. Look at the airlines, the shopping malls, restaurants, bars, retail got smashed. Mom and pop shops, aka the small business, they got smashed. Big business got smashed. Everyone took a hit. And with the lack of being able to socialize and have people come into work, it was inevitable that layoffs had to happen. And I think that retail may be affected for good. I mean, Amazon came in and changed the whole landscape, making it harder for them to survive. Well, now that they've, you know, the retail, has had to adapt to curbside pickup and online orders, I imagine that some of these big box retailers may be questioning their models and looking for a revamp on how they do business. This is a time of change and adaptation. Those who fall behind will lose. And if all of these guys really start leveraging online in a bigger way, they may just realize, or already have, that they really don't need those big stores with all that product on all of those shelves and all of those employees. They can change to a warehouse online model and keep doing business because they are big enough, well-known enough, and trusted enough that people will continue to shop with them. But no matter what, jobs will be lost. Talking to a friend of mine the other day who has a nice job with a big insurance company downtown in one of those big office towers. He hasn't been to work in months. He's working, but like not physically going in. So together we're looking ahead to September. What's going to happen with work, school, hockey? And as I asked him about the office, he said that the buildings, because these are massive office towers, like thousands of people working in them every day, right? He said that the buildings are putting protocol in place for how many people can ride in the elevator at one time and for how their staff comes into the office. I mean, these guys are a massive company with offices all over the world. And he said that they will be going in, and this is the plan, right? They're going to be going in one third at a time. So every week, one third of the team will be in the office while the other two thirds will work from home. So these people are not losing their jobs, which is great. However, looking at it further, it will make it somewhat harder to be productive if those kids don't go back to school. And if the employees are less productive, so too is the company. Plus, if people are home and the restrictions continue to remain in effect, or possibly even get worse, we could experience even more unemployment, which leads to less spending overall. And this means the housing market is included, which directly impacts all of our bottom lines. Like I said, this is not at all about being the pessimist or trying to put a negative spin on the market. Instead, this is about looking ahead just as economists do, as world leaders do, and as some of the wealthiest people alive do, to try and predict, gauge, and plan for the opportunities ahead. Now, you may have just questioned what I mean about opportunity. So keep in mind, with every situation, there's always an opportunity somewhere. It could be financial, it could be personal, it could be anything. It really comes down to how you look at the situation. So what can you do? You can plan. Not plan for a shutdown, not plan for doom and gloom, just simple and plain, have a plan. And listen, they don't always come together the way we want. But by having a plan, we have direction. We have an instruction manual for our success. And I'll tell you all flat out, as I looked at my first 6 months, no shit, I talk to this microphone before you here today, and I will be the first to say, the first half of the year, although off to a start that wasn't even fair for anyone playing against me, because that's just how I roll, the reality is, it was a total bomb in the end. And I mean that not like in the good bomb, as in like the bomb. I mean it was like a bomb, the kind that explodes. Now, as I'm saying this, I will say that it was not a nuclear bomb, because that's the type of stuff you can't really survive. But there were so many things that came up, which every single one of us faced, that when I look at what I was trying to achieve, for the most part in the first 6 months, there were a lot that I didn't hit. As I do practice my gratefulness, though, I can tell you that there were also others that I still totally smashed. And I mean that one in a good way. So where am I going with all this? The key is to be focused, to ensure that you are not letting bad habits get in the way, and that you are always working hard to maintain your good habits because you have a plan. You know what you are working to achieve and how you are going to do it. And remember, it is all about consistency. So, if you haven't yet, review your goals to see where you're at. And no matter what you saw, keep your chin up and keep pushing forward. Ask yourself if you've been using all 7 ways to communicate every day, or if you've only been focused on a few of those. Have you been consistent about what you're doing? It's 6 months in. Are there things that you're actually still needing help with that you thought at one point earlier this year you'd be okay with? And now it's like, whoops, still haven't done that thing. Are you having success? And are you having fun? So to close out on this one, look, I'm not saying that the world's coming to an end. In fact, when we look at what happened in the first half of the year, I mean, how much worse can it get, right? Knock on wood, I guess. But I do want you to be prepared. And I don't want you to fall into the category of most people. Most people start their plan at the end of the year. Then they have some fun on December 31st into January 1st. Then a few days later, it's back to the same old, same old. Instead, I want you to reset every 3 months, four times a year. I want you to be prepared for whatever's ahead of us. And so you need to start doing that now. I said this to my coaching group the other day off the top of one of our Mindshare Master meetings. And I literally got like the deer in headlights look from some of them, right? And others said they are just way too busy to think about it. And by the end of the call, everyone was so motivated to make sure they were ready. It was awesome. It was an awesome mindset shift within like a 90-minute time frame. And amazing how some people were thinking I was nuts to be talking about the fall while in the middle of summer. But then the light bulb went off. If you want to take advantage of your fall market, no matter what the market and the economy, and even the government throws at us, if you want to be ready to win no matter what, if you want to be resilient in the face of anything, then you need to have a plan. You want to deal every day? So get your plan together. Determine what you need to do every day to get you closer to your lifetime goal. Set up your plan now for the fall market ahead. How are you building mindshare? Are you using all seven ways to communicate? And are you being consistent? How bad do you want it? And I will ask you again, do you wait until your car runs out of gas to go fill up at the gas station? Or do you prepare before the tank hits empty? Do you wait until you are getting rained on to fix that leak in your roof? Or are you all over that making sure the rain doesn't get in? Don't wait to adjust your marketing budget, your spending, and your work habits until September is here. Take some time to review or create your plan and do it right now. Stay ahead of your competition and don't be most people. You're either listening to this on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or Spotify. Or maybe you downloaded our free Industry Syndicate podcast app. Or maybe you went to my website, mindshare101.com. And while you're on my site, make sure to download your free copy of the 7 Ways to Communicate ebook to help you build more mindshare so you can get more market share. Wherever you like to consume your content, please rate, review, and subscribe. And if you haven't yet, connect with me on Facebook at Mindshare101 and on Instagram at DavidGreenspan101. This has been another episode of the Mindshare Podcast. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in.